Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. A series of contemporary plays for radio. Earplay. This week, Earplay presents the BBC production of Death of a Pig by John Kirkmorris. Kirkmorris lives in Sussex, England. He wrote his first radio play in 1970 and has since had several other plays produced for radio in addition to writing a play for television. Death of a Pig by John Kirkmorris.
Hello, Bass. Glad to see me. Come on, old fellow. Food. Oh, no appetite. Let's have a look at you. Now, stop that. I won't hurt you. Ah, you're sweating, aren't you? Like to turn over, boy. Let's have a look at that tummy. All right, lay on to get. Now, won't you try a little of this? No? Oh. Poor old chap, you don't look at all well. If you should change your mind. Shoo! Go away. You've had yours. Like, come on. Chop, 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 chop.
Oh, no. What brings him halfway up the mountain?
Good morning.
It was.
What a slope. Are you going to bring a road up here?
I'm not. Don't you like the hard exercise, Mr. Rolfe?
Well, within limits. Phew.
Yeah, can I do something for you?
I was hoping to see Kitty, actually.
You can't, actually. She rises late.
Some people have all the luck.
And some others make it.
What? Oh, yeah. Look, can you give her this?
Yes, I'll see she gets it.
Just a little parting gift.
How gratifying for everybody.
You're quite certain I can't see her?
Absolutely. She's not the Queen of France. She doesn't receive visitors from her bed.
I'll have to write her a letter then, won't I?
She'll look forward to it.
Yes, well, you've been a great help.
Going far, Mr. Rolfe?
Stroud?
No further.
You don't like me, do you, Mrs. Carpenter?
No, Mr. Rolfe, I don't.
Any particular reason?
No, it's more general than particular. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Carry on.
Yes, dear. Good morning. Who are you speaking to?
One of your admirers.
I'm sorry, Kitty. I told him you weren't up yet. He left his parcel for you.
Oh, dear.
Lenny Rolfe. He's going to write.
Oh.
What are you looking for?
My book on pig disease. It's a little one with a green cover.
That's been missing for months.
Oh, to hell with it. I'll ring Lumsden.
What's wrong?
Sebastian. He's off his food and he's got the sweats. His nose is running a bit too. If the mass of people knew how many ailments the average pig suffered... Oh, good morning. Is Mr. Lumsden in? Oh, may I leave a message? This is Mrs. Carpenter, Tollens Farm. My boy is sick. Pardon? Yes, all of that. He could be, I suppose. Well, when he gets back, I'd like him to call... Yes, thank you. Goodbye, dimwit.
I don't know. It's playing golf, I think.
It's playing Lumsden didn't die that girl for her brains. She said there's a light virus about, and I ought to give him a colic drench. You wouldn't care to help me, would you, Kitty?
How?
Hold Baz's head while I dose him. All right. Sorry I asked.
He doesn't like me, Faye.
That's because you show him your fear. If you went in with your head up... Oh, forget it, dear. I should have known better.
Would you like some tea?
I would, thank you. Did you sleep well?
Like a stone.
In front of that open window. I'm surprised you don't catch pneumonia.
Well, I'd like to hear the dawn chorus.
Continue like that and you'll soon be hearing a heavenly one.
Is something wrong?
Oh, I've had a bad night.
Oh, dear.
I was awake at 3 and couldn't get off again.
So I came down here at 4 and started on the washing. The last week's rain touched off my rheumatism.
Oh, dear.
I think I'll have a rasp, but... Chip swore that civilization would collapse without brew and raspers.
Do you want an egg for breakfast?
Not this morning, dear.
Just as well.
There aren't any. And what are your plans for today?
Well, I don't have any. I thought I might sit in the garden.
Ah.
My library book is overdue and I ought to finish it.
I don't suppose...
Yes?
There's a pile of linen that wants mending. Could
I'm not very good with a needle, Faye.
It's only coarse work. I'm not going to have time. Alan's coming home today.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not baked yet. You could use the machine if you wanted.
I don't know how to work it.
Well, it was just an idea. Aren't you going to open your present?
In a moment. Now, is that strong enough?
Yeah. Thank you. Lenny's leaving for Stroud, did you know?
Yes, I've known for a few weeks.
Is it a permanent move?
I think so. He still has some relations here. We won't lose him altogether.
Who's this we, Kitty?
Our church action group.
Oh, yes. Action. He was wearing a smart new suit this morning, and I hadn't seen the car before either. He must be climbing up in the world.
Oh, how charming.
What is it, perfume?
Honey, a dozen little pots. Wasn't that thoughtful?
Sweets for the sweets.
Oh, look, Faye, there's Greek and Moroccan, Mexican. Oh, that was nice of him.
Appropriate, too.
Sorry?
You know, something to sugar the tongue. Master Lenny knows everything there is to know about that.
You misjudge him, Faye.
I don't think so. I've got him weighed off down to his size in socks. He's a hand patter. A picker-up of dropped gloves, a smoothie.
Don't be uncharitable.
He doesn't take me in for a split second.
I don't want to quarrel, Faye.
Who's quarrelling? We're having an amiable chat over a cuppa, analysing your nice, smooth young friend.
Your cuppa's getting cold.
Mm. It's good. You didn't spare the leaves. You were always too tender-hearted, Kitty.
Why do you say that?
It's true.
Why do you speak of it now?
I was thinking of you and charity and your list of pensions.
Oh, what nonsense you talk sometimes.
Even as a child, you'd rush out into the street to give your pocket money to a passing tramp. Can you remember the time when you lined up your dolls and said goodbye to them before packing them off to the China mission?
Did I do that?
Father stopped you at the front door with a sack in your hand. You haven't changed much. The difference is that Lenny isn't one of the benighted Chinese, is he? Why don't you discuss it with me? You haven't done anything shameful, have you? Don't you know you're being used?
I like to think I am, Faye.
For whose purposes, though? God's or the parish layabouts?
Why do you say these things? Is it to spoil my pleasure, Faye?
When the cost of your pleasure's so high, perhaps I am.
I'm raising your voice.
Because you provoke me so. There are no paupers now, Kitty.
But there are those less, well, fortunate than we are.
True, but we have rules for that. One of them is you don't buy something before you can afford to pay for it. Your friend drove up in a car he hadn't paid for, looking like a lily in hire purchase finery. With some people, it's like a sickness. Live now, pay later. And best of all, get somebody else to foot the bill.
I'm surprised you don't write to the papers about it.
And what's the point? Can't even convert my own sister to reason. Do you want anything in Ockham?
No, I can't think of anything. Oh, some stamps. 6 first-class ones, please.
I'd better make a note of it. When Lumsden calls, you can see him in, can't you?
Yes, I think so.
He knows where the sty is, but he may want to leave a message.
Oh, it's Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, did you forget?
No, but you don't go into Ockham on Thursday.
I have to. Mr. Tweed wants to see me.
Mr. Tweed?
Our bank manager.
Oh, is that his name? I've only met him once and I'm so bad with names.
It's a nuisance. I've more than enough to do here.
It's unusual, isn't it, being summoned by a bank manager?
I expect he wants to tell me my stocks haven't paid anything for the last 6 months. I can get some things for the house while I'm at it. Kitty?
Yes, dear?
Sorry.
For what?
Screaming at you. My nerves are ragged, but that's no excuse, is it?
You can be very cruel, you know.
And stupid.
I don't feel comfortable without somebody or something to worry about. Even if it's that swollen old porker out there.
He's your pensioner.
Yeah.
Think of something we might need while I get my bag.
Ah, Mrs. Carpenter. I hope I didn't keep you waiting.
No.
Ah, please sit down.
Thank you.
Gorgeous weather, don't you think?
Oh, we could do with some more rain, Mr. Tweed.
Oh, really? My wife and I drove past Holland last Sunday evening. We both thought it was looking better than we'd ever seen it.
Oh, I thank you for those kind words.
You've made a very desirable little holding of it.
There's no profit in it.
Well, that's not everything, Mrs. Carpenter. I'd like to discuss your investment situation, though.
I thought it might be that.
This block of local government bonds you're holding, it's giving you a very low yield, 5% taxable.
But it's safe, isn't it?
So are other securities, Mrs. Carpenter, and they could give you a return of almost twice as much.
My husband advised me to keep them.
Well, he was right, in the climate of 10 years ago when he bought them. But you're simply locking up your assets without getting a decent income from them.
You think I should sell and buy something else?
Yes, I do, frankly. But you don't have to let the whole block go. If I realized half this stock and bought some of the authority's new long-dated securities, you'd be better off by at least £100 a year.
As much as that?
Oh, yes.
I didn't realize. Would I have to make a decision soon?
Oh, not at all. Take a couple of weeks to think about it.
All right, I will. Is that it?
Not quite. There is another matter. Now, this is a very delicate business, Mrs. Carpenter.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
It's delicate because, in the first place, I'm breaking one of the bank's most rigid rulings, our client's confidentiality. And in the second place, it concerns your own family.
It's about Alan?
No. I'm referring to your sister, Miss Watts.
But how does that concern me?
I don't know how to put this. I better explain the situation as we see it here. Your sister has a small capital, doesn't she?
Yes. She was our father's beneficiary.
But apart from the interest on her capital, she has no other income.
None at all.
She isn't gainfully employed, for instance.
No, she doesn't work.
Her health isn't good, I gather.
Mr. Tweed, what is this in aid of?
Your sister has got through half her capital in 2 years.
Sorry, what...
She's been giving it away in handfuls, Mrs. Carpenter. In 2 years, her capital and income have shrunk to half of what they were. I was wondering, in fact, if Miss Watts wasn't ill.
Is it true?
Well, if you want confirmation, just look at these accounts.
No. No, thank you. Where's the money gone?
To different individuals. I can't tell you more, I'm afraid.
Leonard Rolfe isn't one of them, is he?
Look, please don't ask me, Mrs. Carpenter.
God, how could she?
I'm in a very delicate position.
I can see that.
I was wondering.
Yes?
How would it be if I gave you advance warning when Miss Watts intended to make another one of her donations?
Well, what good would that do?
Well, it would give you time to talk around.
I don't have that kind of influence on her.
You strike me as being pretty forthright, Mrs. Carpenter.
That's the trouble. I'm not devious enough.
But you are worried. I can see.
Well, it wouldn't be. In 2 years, you tell me, my sister is likely to qualify for Social Security.
Yes.
You know my situation. I couldn't support her. Then why should I? It's all so unnecessary.
Quite.
Well, thank you for telling me. I'll speak to her, Mr. Twee, but not today. Feeling as I do now.
Yes.
Troubles always come in company, don't they? My boar's sickening for something.
Oh, you keep pigs?
Pig. Just the one. He's really off colour this morning.
Oh. Did you know there was vesicular disease about?
Well, not here, surely. There was an outbreak in Wales last week.
Well, they confirmed it at Teston yesterday. Well,
that's 50 miles away.
Yes. I'm just being an alarmist. Now, let me see you out.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there you are. Didn't you hear me?
What, dear?
You shouldn't sit in the glare without a hat.
Oh, I like to feel the sun on my face. Did you remember the stamps?
Yes. Do you want them right away?
Oh, no.
How's the book going?
It's not. Reading hurts the eyes. It's much pleasanter to just sit.
Did Lumsden call?
I didn't hear him.
That's a strange answer. Either he did or he didn't.
He didn't. Are you angry about something?
Not really. It's a hot day, and I'd like to change my clothes and have a drink. There's a sick pig in the sty, and a vet who'd rather play golf than attend to ailing animals. And I have a sister who doesn't seem to care very much either way.
What would you like me to do?
Express an interest.
Even when I don't feel one?
What does interest you, Kitty?
Excuse me?
No, you stay there. I'll go. I just wish you weren't so inert all the time.
The mouse mustn't aspire to be an elephant, Faye.
Remind me to pull a few crackers at Christmas. I'm going to see to my pig. Oh, Baz, you've messed again. Let me... What? Oh, you're burning. I've had enough of this. Oh, can you hurry, please? Very well, Mr. Lumsden. Who the hell do you think you are? Oh, God.
What is it?
Nothing.
You're upset.
That bloody horse doctor says he can't get here for another hour. He only lives a mile away. I could walk that in 20 minutes.
What difference will an hour make?
To me, all the difference in the world. And don't give me any of that Christian resignation stuff, Kitty. It doesn't become either of us. If you want to be useful, you can peg out the bowl of laundry in the scullery.
Very well.
I'm going to make a cake when the pans stop moving about.
Still, blast you.
Mr. Lumsden, do you...
Please, not while I'm working. There's nothing we can do for this one.
Can't I try another drench?
It's vesicular disease, Mrs. Carpenter.
But isn't that a treat?
There's only control. I'll have to use your phone.
Mr. Lumsden, surely
there... There isn't. Sorry. The phone, please.
Oh, God.
It's a shame... He's a fine boy.
I'll show you where the fire is.
And I'd like some warm water, please. Oh, look at that. All over a brand new pair of slacks.
Oh, I've made some tea, Fay.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's so undignified. His legs bumping up and down on the tailboard of the lorry as they dragged him on.
There wasn't anything to be done.
No. I must sterilize the sty, burn off his bedding. Oh, I did like that old pig, Kitty.
Try not to think about it.
I want to think about
it. But you'll only upset yourself.
Well, what's wrong with being upset? It was foolish, perhaps. Why did I have a pig in the first place? I couldn't bear to see it slaughtered, and I don't eat bacon anyway. There's a saying, cats look down on you, dogs look up to you, but pigs is equal. Sebastian was equal.
You could get another, Faye.
No, I wouldn't want to go through this again. My cake spoiled. It's quite black. Didn't you notice it burning?
No, I was upstairs in my room.
Oh.
I'm not feeling too well. I have a headache coming.
That's what happens when you sit in the sun without a hat.
Oh, I work with it, as a matter of fact.
Then you should have stayed indoors.
Really, Fay, a headache's not worth arguing about.
But it can prevent you keeping an eye out for my cake. Our cake, I should say.
Oh, you can't hold me responsible for that.
I don't. Nothing that takes place here is your responsibility. Not a meal, or the animals, or the household wash. The fairies do it while you're sleeping.
You do everything so well. Why should I interfere?
Why shouldn't you? It's your home, too.
Will you excuse me? I'll have my tea in my room.
Don't go, Kitty. I want to talk to you.
Not while you're in this mood.
Catherine Watts, sit down.
Shouting at me won't accomplish anything.
No, you haven't gone yet, have you? I want to talk about your money.
I'm not prepared to discuss it.
Your bank manager is. He's so worried he's even prepared to break the bank's rules.
I don't believe you.
That's why he called me in for an interview this morning.
He has absolutely no right.
Yes, he has. When you see someone drowning, you don't worry about appearance. You jump in the river fully clothed and scream for help.
Nobody's drowning, Fay. I can dispose of my money as I like, can't I?
Yes, you can. You can subsidize every loafer in the district. There's no lack of customers. You can't pretend Leonard Rolfe is the only one.
It takes persistence to get rid of £8,000 in 2 years.
Are you jealous, Fay?
No. I have enough. Just.
And so do I. It's immoral to have so much when others have so little. What you said earlier isn't true. There are paupers. The poor are always with us.
And you'll be joining them soon. You'll be able to report on their condition at first hand.
That will be providential, won't it?
Rubbish. It'll be self-inflicted and willful and stupid. The Bible tells you to give away your spare coat. It doesn't ask you to run around in the snow wearing nothing but your shift.
You won't change my mind.
Not if you want martyrdom, I won't. Oh, Kitty, have you no thought for the future?
It's provided for.
Where? In Ockham? Or in a back room in Norwood with views of a clothesline? What would happen to you if I were to die suddenly?
Well, that's not very likely, is it?
How do you know? Oh, God. Why is everything so difficult with you?
I'm surprised you should say that. I try to make myself as unobtrusive as possible.
That's the whole point, Kitty. I don't want you to creep about like a ghost. I want you to join in, to help me.
Even when I don't have the strength?
You have the strength when you need it.
Oh, that's not true. Dr. McPherson said...
Don't tell me. For an attack of the vapours, inhale the fumes of burnt feathers and keep the feet raised. Heavens. He started his career doing his rounds in a dogcart.
I suffer from nervous debility.
You don't suffer from it. You indulge in it.
What could I do that you don't do already?
Lots! You sit in the garden for hours, but it never enters your head to pick a few weeds.
I like weeds.
But the flowers don't, and the vegetables hate them. You could help, too, by getting up earlier. How often are you down to breakfast before 9:30? There's a rhythm of working on a small holding. You must learn to fit in with it.
Or go. Is that what you mean?
No. I haven't said that.
It seems to me that... You've said nothing else for the last 10 minutes. Obviously, you disapprove of me.
Not of you, Kitty. The way you behave.
Which is the same thing. Oh, I thought you understood, Fay.
Try another approach, please. Don't try to make me feel guilty when I'm the injured party.
I do have a headache now.
And then you'd better lie down, hadn't you? If you were here, I'm sure Dr. McPherson would advise it. Unfortunately, I have to work through my little aches and pains.
I won't want any lunch.
I'm not making any lunch, Kitty.
Then I won't be a nuisance, will I?
Kitty!
Oh, dear.
Kitty, dear, I brought you something.
Yes. Oh, is that for me?
Just a little salad, in case.
Oh, thank you. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
I always get a stab of sciatica on the fifth stair. Never any other. I wonder why that is.
It's where you have to turn, I expect.
Yes.
It's pressed beef. You like that, don't you?
Yes, thank you. I'll try some presently.
Is your head bad?
It is, rather. I'll lie down, if you don't mind.
Do you have any aspirin?
No, I won't take drugs.
I could make you a vinegar compress.
No, I expect it'll pass. Please, Fay, I'll be all right. Why don't you sit down?
I mustn't stop long. I have the sty to clean.
When does Alan arrive?
When he gets here. You know Alan. He's no use for clocks.
Don't you think he's getting to look like Father?
I haven't thought of that.
Oh, yes. I have a photograph of Father at the rowing club just before the First War.
I haven't seen it.
It was in the big album he left me. He's in shirt sleeves and he's wearing a moustache, just like the one that Alan drew on his last vacation. They're so alike, you might think that they were brothers.
I thought he was getting to look more like Chip.
Oh, neither.
Do you think about old times much, Kitty?
Oh, yes. I prefer the past. It's fixed, isn't it?
And done with. It's strange, but Father's illness seemed to blot out our family life. That is, I can't see back beyond it. He was so changed, Kitty.
Yes.
Would have been much kinder to have given him an injection and end it all.
That's wrong. Life's the most precious gift we have.
Did Father think so when he vomited up pieces of his liver?
Oh,
you can spare us your horror, Kitty. He didn't leave on a clean white bed with a celestial choir playing in the background.
At the end, he didn't know me. He thought I was his torturer. When it was over, I felt profoundly thankful.
Oh, Fay.
He was 82 and lead a marvellous life. What more is there? Oh, hark at me, I'm shaking again. I'll leave you to rest. Fay?
Yes?
You still blame me, don't you?
Blame you?
For not nursing Father.
It's 7 years ago, leave thee.
But you do, don't you?
You were his favourite, Kitty. He expected you to be there. Yes, I do blame you a bit. And what possible difference can it make now?
If you don't forgive me, all the difference in the world.
Get your rest.
Hey, anybody at home?
Oh, Alan, I didn't hear you.
Is that my bed you're making up?
It might be if you're not careful. No, no, dear, don't come inside.
Where's Bess?
He's gone.
Well, you sold him.
No, dear, he's dead.
Oh, poor old Bess. What happened?
Vascular.
What's stinking up?
I've had to disinfect everything. I still have the outside walls to do.
Allow me to take over?
No, no, you don't mess up your clothes.
Well, apart from this lot, how are you? Oh, like that, eh?
Oh, I wish you didn't have to see me like this. I ought to go back to bed and start today all over again.
How's Auntie?
She has one of her headaches.
Tolland's farm seems to be full of walking wounded.
Just a little under the weather. Go inside, dear. I won't be long. There's beer in the pantry.
Right. How do you feel now?
Refreshed.
Do you want some of this?
No, thank you, dear. Ooh, I smell like a hospital ward.
It's all the rage. What are you looking for?
My cigarettes.
Try the mantelpiece.
Ah, yes. Thank you. What time did you start out?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
I had to give somebody a lift to Reading. I stayed there overnight.
A friend?
Yeah, good health.
Health.
I go on that round the spot.
What do you know in Reading?
Sit down and I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
Mother, there comes a time in the life of every young adult male...
Never mind that. Who is she?
How did you know?
The way you walked into the house, as if you expected the walls to open to receive you.
It shows, eh?
Is she nice?
We don't use that word anymore.
Is she?
Very. With extras.
When do I meet her?
The weekend after this one. We can put her up, can't we?
Oh, if she's so nice with extras, how can I refuse?
Good.
What's her name, Alan?
Margaret. But really, she's a Peggy. Peggy Perrin.
Peggy Perrin? Like that Peggy Perrin in Norwood?
Not like. It's the same girl.
The plump one?
The fat kid with the blonde plaits.
I can't believe it.
Don't sit there with your mouth open. It's so inelegant.
Peggy Perrin?
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet her?
Well, this is the weird bit. Doug. You know, her brother.
Yeah.
Well, he's been reading languages in the next door college. It's his second year. We've been living cheek by jowl for 2 years, and we didn't meet until 2 months ago. Then Peg came up for a day to Cambridge. We all went out to lunch together, and... Well, the rest you can fill in for yourself. Oh, you wouldn't recognise her, Ma. She's thin, almost skinny, and the plaits have gone.
I don't have to ask if you're happy. I'm so glad, Alan.
Would a Perrin-Carpenter merger be to your taste?
Marriage?
Nothing less.
When?
2 years.
Why wait 2 years?
I have to establish myself a bit first. Oh, I have another piece of news.
You've won the Nobel Prize.
Not quite. But I've got my degree.
Oh, Alan.
It's not official, and it won't be for a month. But Weber says I have it wrapped up. I believe it, Ma. The papers were a doddle.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I haven't finished. The university's offered me a research job. Depending on the marks, of course. It won't pay much, but I'll have the chance to study for a doctorate at the same time. In 3 years, there could be a doctor of science in the family.
Aren't you nervous?
Yes. With so much luck, the gods might have it in for me. Well, a degree, a career and a wife all coming together.
Hmm.
I'm afraid to step into the street sometimes.
Oh, you deserve it,
Alan. No, nobody does.
Chips would have been terribly proud.
Hey, steady on. You'll have me sobbing into my ale.
Are you hungry?
Hungry? No, it can wait till supper time. Hello, Auntie.
Alan, I thought I heard your voice. Oh, did you have a nice journey?
Yes, thank you.
Oh,
I hear you've got the vapors.
No, it's just a slight ache. I'm sure it'll go away soon.
Have some beer. That's good for you.
No, not for me, thank you. It always reminds me of fat men in the back of motor coaches.
Would you like some tea, Kitty?
Not at the moment, thank you.
Alan has some marvellous news.
Your degree.
It looks like it. And a good one.
Oh, I am pleased. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Of course, I never doubted you.
No, you didn't. Thank you.
It's your success, dear.
And they've offered me a research job, too.
Your cup's running over.
Thrice filled and brimming.
Alan has some other news, too.
Let that wait, Walma. I'll tell you later, Auntie.
It sounds very mysterious. If you'll excuse me, I'll go back now.
Let me get you some aspirin.
No, I'll get over it.
Try deep breathing. It works for me.
I will.
Supper's at 6, Kitty.
Oh, I haven't eaten my lunch yet. Don't include me, dear.
Off your grub, Auntie.
Yes, I'm off my grub. Oh, many congratulations, Alan.
Salvolatile is good for that, too.
For what?
The vapors or megrims or whatever they call them 100 years ago.
Clue me up. I don't know what you mean.
I'm talking about your aunt and her disorder.
I thought she'd be restful to have around.
Inert is the word.
Are you two on bad terms?
Somewhat.
Should I know about it?
Oh, there's not much point, Alan. I'm going to have another asper.
You want to watch that? You're becoming a right junkie.
On 5 a day?
All right. Did it go the wrong way? I was only kidding.
Oh, Alan. Do you have a hanky?
Not a usable one. Hold on. Kitchen paper. Will that do?
Thank you.
There. What's wrong?
I can't tell you.
You're not ill, are you?
No, I'm a little raw, that's all.
That's not like you to turn on the waterworks.
That's all you know.
Ah, you're one of those furtive weepers, are you? Do it in private, eh? Pouring gin down you while you dab at your eyes.
God knows you're a bloody fool.
Hey, have a swig of beer.
I don't want one, really, I don't.
You ought to tell me.
Oh, it's not a single thing, Alan. There's lots of nagging worries all jumbled up together, and when you talked of getting married, it sort of brought some old feelings to the surface. Oh. Can I tell you about Sebastian?
Well, sure, go ahead.
Well, he's been sickening for about 3 days. You know how he's always catching things.
Yeah.
I didn't take too much notice. It's sometimes best for animals to physic themselves. Then this morning, he was in a fever and he was discharging everywhere. I couldn't get the vet for hours and hours. In the end, he didn't get here until nearly one. And then he said he'd have to shoot him. He got his gun thing out of his car and I had to hold Baz's head while he did it. Baz turned his head to look round at me and it was as if he was appealing to me to make him well. Then Mr. Lumsden pulled the trigger. Baz jumped a couple of times, then he rolled over onto his side. I felt as if I'd betrayed him.
You ought to get another pig.
I couldn't. I'd be reminded.
What were the other things that were getting up your nose?
Oh, nothing that matters.
If they worry you, they matter, Ma.
You'll have to take some things on trust.
Well, folks, I've enjoyed myself. Now I have to leave you.
Leave?
I want to work on the smoking thunder car.
And what's wrong with it?
Well, very little that Henry Ford and a team of technicians couldn't put right. Coming through Ockham, I made more smoke than Concord. Is the toolbox where I left it?
Yes, in the shed. You'll mind the pullets, won't you?
Of course.
Take no notice of me, Alan. Your father had a name for me when I was in this mood. Vinegar Lil.
Vinegar and chips. A good meld.
He would have been very proud of you.
I think you've said that already.
Go on. Aren't you going to change your clothes?
Oh, really, mater? I'm an intellectual, not a bloody mechanic. See you.
Mater. Use the scouring powder on those and get a move on. I want to dish up.
Yes, ma'am. I think the Thundercart's had it.
What, dear?
I'm going to dump the banger.
Oh, will you buy another?
Not for a while. Finances are a bit tight.
Would you let me help?
Oh, God, no, I wasn't fishing.
I know that, but I can make you a present, can't I?
Come on, you haven't got any loose cash lying around.
I could raise some.
Why don't I keep my trap shut? Look, don't worry, it'll sort itself out.
It would give me pleasure, Alan.
You help with that one. I want the next one to be all mine.
Proud devil. What will Peggy say?
What I tell her to. No, she won't mind.
Can I get to the sink?
Oh, sure. But strictly speaking, I don't need a car, and I can't really afford to run one.
How will you manage at weekends?
Oh, I'll get a scooter.
I distrust those things.
What are you talking about? I'm an ace, Ma. 9 times round the island blindfolded. I'll have to watch the pennies for the next couple of years.
You will if you want to marry.
It's not only that. I've got a few debts as well.
You?
Well, sure. All young gentlemen at the varsity get into debt. It shows you've arrived in the world.
Who do you owe this money to?
A tradesman. Me Wayne Merchant, you know.
Really?
No. I owe something for books and... Well, I have to take care.
Well, how much is it, Alan?
I'm not going to tell you.
Why not?
Because it's personal and it's my problem. Well, how do we get on to this subject? Look, I'm not one step ahead of the bookies or anything.
If there's nothing to hide, why can't you tell me?
I'll come clean, Ma. I've got this big habit, see? 5 pikes of opium a day. I owe the money to a Chinaman with a pigtail who carries a hatchet next to his vest.
Forget I spoke. Are you hungry?
Well, don't ask. Just load the plate.
More pudding?
No room.
There's plenty.
Oh, mercy.
Would you like a drink?
Water's fine. I wish Auntie could have made it.
She'll come down when she's hungry. I don't suppose she's touched her lunch yet.
Do you worry about her?
Yes.
Don't all women go through this phase?
Yes, but they don't make a career of it.
Ah.
So you've noticed?
I'd be pretty thick not to. Well, Auntie's one of my favourite people. You're pretty high on the list, too. I hate to see bad blood between you.
Yes, well, it's partly our situation, Alan. The holding has to be run in a particular way. Kitty can't fit into it, or rather, she doesn't make the effort. Oh, she cleans her room, washes her clothes, and that's all. Otherwise, she contributes nothing to the house or the holding. I make her meals, nurse her when she's not well, which is 3 days in 5, and I just feel generally used. Oh, Alan, she lives like a hermit. Sunday she spends in church, morning and evening, and she walks both ways. When she returns to the house, she doesn't sit with me. She goes straight up to her room and stays there. It's like living in a boarding house.
Have you told her?
I try, but she withdraws into herself. What can I do? Wait for a change, hope it'll all blow over. I've been waiting for 4 years.
Maybe you need a holiday.
How could I go anywhere? The fowls wouldn't be fed. Your aunt can't cook. The house would be inches thick in dust.
We could take some day trips.
Yes, there is that.
The railways are still running, aren't they? The first day you can spare. Agreed?
Agreed. Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks. I'd like to sit on.
Why do you stare at me like that?
Like what?
Well, as if you were holding me up to the light.
Maybe I am. I think I take you for granted. Yes, I do. Well, you're always there when I need you, so you're a fixture. But I've no idea what goes on inside your head.
I don't peer too closely. You might not like what you see.
It was a general proposition. Has Auntie always been as she is now? I can't remember much from the old days.
Oh, she was as different as stones out of water. When she was young, she had tremendous vitality. You may not believe it, but she won every prize at school for sport.
Straight up.
Her tennis coach wanted her to compete for the county. She swam all through the summer and could dance until she dropped. She was terrifically popular. She had to use both hands to fend off the men. And at the end of the war, she did shift work in an aircraft factory.
Aunt Kitty.
Oh, yes. She punched rivets into bombers. And I was in the Land Army. After a 12-hour shift, she'd go to dances and didn't come home until 2 or 3 in the morning. After a day mucking out, I couldn't drag one foot after the other.
So what happened?
Oh, I don't know the details. There was a man in it somewhere. She was jilted. She had her pick of the bunch, and she got herself involved with a married man. He must have been a stinker. He broke her heart for her.
And she never married?
No. She stayed at home and nursed her grandmother. Long before 30, she was an old maid.
And that's irony. I was the plain Jane. If anybody should have been left on the shelf, it was me.
Speaking for myself, I'm glad you weren't.
I suppose...
What?
Well, I've always felt a bit protective towards her. But when I'm being truly honest, there have been times in our lives when I've been horribly jealous. When we were children, I was as cruel as I could be.
Well, that's fairly normal, isn't it? The old rivalry bit?
Perhaps, but I took it to extremes. She was your grandfather's favourite. Me, I was the big, jolly, solid one, so I could cope on my own. Well, that's how it seemed to me. And one day, she was about 11 and I was 13. She came into the drawing room to show off her new frock. It was gorgeous. Taffeta with red silk bows and puffed sleeves. I was green. I sat at the table doing my homework while Kitty did pirouettes to show off the flare of the skirt. I turned round and deliberately flicked my fountain pen at her. The ink splashed her from the waist to the neck. I ruined it. Kitty howled like a banshee and I got beaten. And my triumph was perfect. Little girls aren't sugar and spice, you know.
So you're...
I'm still ashamed.
Older than auntie.
Yes,
I thought it was the other way round. Only she was about 60.
She's 48. And in the end, I got all the worthwhile prizes, a man and a home of my own and a baby. And poor Kitty had nothing. Which is why I hold myself in. Until today, I did anyway.
Ah.
And what does that mean?
It means I can't think of anything to say.
Oh. I might as well tell you now.
Tell me what?
What you're bound to hear from some other person and told wrong.
Okay, hit me.
Your aunt's been squandering her money.
Oh.
She's been scattering checks like confetti. She'd probably call them loans, but she won't see any of it again.
Human nature's a funny thing. She might get some of it back.
Yes, and cows might jump over the moon.
How did you get to hear about this?
Mr. Tweed at the bank told me this morning.
Ah.
Oh, I've known for a long time it was going on, but I didn't know until today how much was involved. She's thrown away half her capital in less than 2 years.
Ow.
I can't talk to her about it. I can't persuade her. I just have to sit tight and watch her as she walks to the edge. What's going to become of her if anything should happen to me?
Well, she'd stay on here, presumably.
The holding will be yours. Would you like an invalid aunt as a permanent tenant?
Look, that possibility's light years away.
Or it could happen next week.
Oh, you're fantasizing, Ma.
That's right. Support me.
I'll think about those morbid things when I have to.
Oh, Alan, there is no time. It passes so quickly. You have to prepare yourself. It seems as if only last week I was new married or gave birth to you. Time crushes the breath out of you.
Then don't run after it. Just let it happen.
No. Brave words. Why didn't I drift when Chips died? What would have become of us then? I felt as if I was lying face down on the floor and God's foot was on my neck. You must prepare for the worst. It's round the next corner.
So what do you do about Aunt Kitty? Show her the door?
Oh,
All right, you won't. Will you go to law and have her assets taken over for safekeeping?
Oh, she's not a lunatic.
So where are you?
On my own, shouting into the dark.
Ma.
Yeah?
I can't take sides in this.
Why not?
I'm a beneficiary too.
I don't understand you.
Aunt Kitty's given me money.
Oh, yes, at Christmas and birthdays.
No. A lump. A big lump.
For what?
My last year at the university.
You had a grant for that.
No, I didn't. I told you I had. I was lying in my teeth. I changed courses, remember. I switched to biochemistry. The grants committee said they wouldn't stake me beyond my 3 years' term. I told Auntie the sad story, and she offered to lend me the money. 700 quid.
Are you making this up?
Oh, hardly. Not with the next 2 years in pawn.
Why didn't you come to me?
Because you'd done enough, and because I didn't want to knock a dent in your faith. I've worked like a dog to cram 2 years' work into one. If I hadn't, all that faith would have gone for nothing.
My head's going round.
My Aunt Kitty might be a bit dreamy, but she pulled out my chestnuts all right.
Oh. There's a sort of justice in this, Alan.
Oh?
Originally, your grandfather was going to leave his money to me.
Why didn't he?
I pleaded with him not to.
He refused his fortune.
It didn't seem like a fortune at the time. Chips and I had the business and we were comfortably off. And Kitty could have looked forward to nothing.
Let's wash the pots.
Yeah.
I'd like that coffee you were talking about.
I'll fill the kettle.
Right.
Is there a lemon in that bowl?
A half.
Oh, good.
Why do you need a lemon?
Kitty likes a slice in her tea.
Come in.
I brought you a drink, dear. What are all those boxes?
I'm packing, Fay.
Packing?
Oh, shall I take that?
You're taking it. Why should you pack, Kitty?
I'm going away.
Why?
Because I want to, and because you want me to as well.
But I don't.
Oh, Fay, shame the devil.
It's true, I don't want you to go. I want you to live with me.
And with your rules, in your house, to your timetable, I think I should provide my own.
You don't mean it. You can't change your skin within a few hours.
Why not? You did. You talked to me today as you've never talked to me before.
Because I was distracted and upset about Sebastian.
Oh, come now. You must have been storing up that quarrel for months.
All right. Yes, I have.
You made it very plain that I was no longer welcome.
You weren't, but only for a moment.
I've been lying here, thinking and thinking, and suddenly thinking wasn't enough. I had to do something.
Do you know you're hurting me?
I'm only giving back what you inflicted on me.
Where will you go?
Back to Norwood, I think.
You'll hate it there.
But I'll be free, and that makes all the difference.
When will you go?
Tomorrow, early.
And what will I do?
Well, you'll find something or somebody.
I won't.
Oh, hey, don't sentimentalize, sir.
Oh, that sounds fine, coming from you.
That's better. A tacky is your real suit.
Well, why else did you stand on the street corner handing out £5 notes to the first layabout with a hard luck story?
I don't know. Oh, I never really wanted father's money. I didn't think I had a proper right to it.
Did Lenny? Or that wife-beater? What's his name? Gouch?
Oh, they amused me, Fay. You are quite right. Rolf is a hand-holder and an eyelash flutterer. And I saw him waltz towards me with that fake solicitude. I laughed inside. He was so obvious.
But you let him all the same.
Oh, he's not bad. Just silly. And he'd be bankrupt before he's 30.
Do you despise Alan in the same way?
No. So he told you.
I provoked him into telling. He's very fond of you.
Good. I can never do enough for Chip's son.
Well, what has Chip's got to do with it?
Isn't it extraordinary, the amount of rubbish one accumulates? I just found an old ration book with some unused meat coupons. You'd better hold on to it, the way things are looking, I might need them.
What did you mean when you mentioned Chip's?
I liked him. I liked him a lot. You forget I knew him before you did. In fact, I introduced you to each other. Wasn't that kind of me? And stupid. If I'd kept him to myself, Alan might have been my son.
Why are you saying this?
I don't know. I'm just clearing out rubbish.
Were you in love with him?
Oh, yes. For years and years. While you were on your honeymoon, I stayed at home swallowing phenobarbitone to keep me unconscious. I hated the thought of you two together.
Oh, Kitty.
I never wanted anyone else. But I was too flighty, too frivolous. When Chips came out of the Navy, he wanted good, solid fare. Sorry, you know what I mean. He never realized how I felt. Are girls still so reticent, Fay?
I haven't asked one.
Your Chips was the standard by which I judged other men. None of them quite matched up. In time, I got over the crush and the pain. But I couldn't get out of the habit of being alone. I still can't, which is why we're talking like this. I do genuinely wish to be on my own. Try as I might, I can't live with you or anyone else for that matter. If I'm lazy, you make me so.
All right. I understand. Now, can't we take it from there?
Oh, you haven't been listening, Faye.
But you're my sister.
Well, what's that? After we grew up, we didn't spend more than a week at a time in each other's company. At least we didn't until I joined you here. You're sentimentalizing again.
You shame me, Kitty.
Please. It doesn't help.
Will you visit me?
I expect so.
I worry so about you. A woman on her own with no security.
There is no security, Faye. You, of all people, should realize that.
But there's comfort and health.
I can survive on very little.
You have your religion?
Religion, but no faith. Scrape away the decoration and there's nothing underneath but a little sawdust.
Then what do you have to live for?
Living's a habit I can't break myself of. Yet.
I don't say that. You frighten me.
Oh, I truly do believe in a providence. I'm provided for. That's what it literally means.
I'll miss you.
Yes, like wondering where your headache went. Will you excuse me? I've a heap of things to do.
Yes, of course. Those curtains need a wash. Thank you for looking after Alan.
Ah, he's my one wise investment. I'm not a bad judge of character, am I?
He's going to repay you.
If he wants to.
He must.
Good. Thank you for the tea, dear.
Oh, you finished.
You took your time.
We had a long talk. I'll make the coffee.
Can it wait a minute?
I thought you were waiting for it.
Let's go for a walk. Not far, just to the road and back.
It is a beautiful evening.
Do you want a coat?
Heavens, no.
Then we're ready. How does it feel to be a landowner?
Oh, I don't think about it now.
I'm surprised the socialists don't woo the workers with the promise of 1 acre and a cow. It's better than a 3-car family and unlimited overtime.
You know, I thought I might keep a cow, a Dexter or a small Jersey.
Could you and Auntie drink all the milk?
Let's stop here. What are those lights flashing in the distance?
Cars on the motorway. Filled with weary salesmen rushing back to a row with the missus. 1,000 journeys to a single destination. The sun. Times like this, I wish I could fly.
How do you stay so calm?
Do I?
Yes. It's something your friends have, too.
We surrender. Go for what you can get and forgo the rest.
The rest being haircuts and clean trousers.
Right.
I wish I could be like that.
It's coming. You learn to run by learning to run.
That sounds like one of your aunt's cracker mottos.
So don't take me seriously. Hey, what's the pungent smell?
Hawthorn. I've had the strangest day. I feel years older and years younger. I've let go inside and I've gained something.
That's the game, letting go.
Oh, God, I wish I was clever.
Oh, who needs it? Can we take a look at the stream?
All right. I found a mattress in it last week.
Oh, where do they come from? And the bedsteads? And the rusty pails. I think people make them just for dumping.
Oh, that's nothing. Our neighbour found a lorry in his pond with no wheels.
Oh, I give up. What's the answer?
Death of a Pig by John Kirk Morris. Elizabeth Spriggs was heard as Faye and Avril Elgar as Kitty. Others in the cast were Malcolm Reed, David Graham, Peter Craze, and Douglas Blackwell. The play was produced by the BBC and presented by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting.